I thank you, Lord, that our value today is not measured, Lord, by whether people like us or not, by the degrees back on the backside of our name or by our position, but our value is determined by the fact that you redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. The most precious commodity in the whole universe, not diamonds, not silver, not platinum, the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You purchased my salvation. You gave your life for me, Lord. I'm so grateful today. If the church, would you please say amen with me if you're grateful today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Today I want to continue where we were 2 weeks ago. We had a tremendous Mother's Day outreach last Sunday. If you were here, what a blast we had. We had some good food. I wish we could have that kind of food every Sunday. Today I want to continue, as I said, about going deeper with God. Going deeper with God. Going past the I can'ts of life. Remember the story I told about our granddaughter Ella when she was only 2 years old? Her mom said, you got to pay attention. Come home. We're going home. And she was playing in the corner. She was just learning to talk. She was just learning how to speak. And the mother said, Ella, we got to go. We have to leave now. She was talking to the teacher. She was registering her for preschool or nursery school or something like that. And all of a sudden, Ella turns around, puts her hands on her little hips and says, I can't. At 2 years old, she's already saying, I can't. God wants to deliver us from the I can'ts of life, whether you're 2 years old or 90 years old. When you're following in the will of God, there is no limit to what God can do. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Somebody say amen. But the question sometimes with us is, we're not as hungry for God, we're not as focused on God as we need to be. God is not going to pour out his blessings if you're not paying attention. God is not going to feed you with all of the good stuff he wants to feed you with if you've been so full on that junk food. And I'm not talking about material food now. I'm talking about the distractions of life. I'm talking about all the time you spend worrying. I'm talking about all the time you spend just feeling bad about yourself or feeling bad about that person who did you wrong. Is anybody paying attention to what I'm saying today? So much of our effort and energy in life goes to things that really don't matter. In the end, like you heard yesterday at that beautiful memorial service, the things that really matter, love, God, family, relationships, and did you leave any kind of legacy? Did you do some good in this world? There's some people that, you know, want to make a living. There's other people who want to make a difference. Amen. Do you want to just live and survive, or do you want to have a life that's significant? The way to be significant is become like Jesus Christ. Be a man of God. There's a lot of men running around acting like fools. Come on now. There's also a lot of women, don't get mad at me, spending a lot of time on a bunch of nonsense, stuff that doesn't really matter. When Jesus first called the disciples, he called them to go deeper. In Luke chapter 5, we talked about this. He was by the shore, and the fishermen had finished their fishing. They were frustrated because they caught nothing. They were out all night and ended up empty. Have you ever felt empty? These guys were working hard and trying to catch fish. They made a living that was important to them. They had to feed their family, and they ended up coming up empty, caught nothing. They were now on the shore, mending their nets, washing their nets. And Jesus comes up and says, go back out there and catch some fish. And Peter says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We have caught nothing. But he saw something in this man. He detected something in the way that Jesus spoke. A spark ignited in Peter. And he said, there's something different about this man. There's something different about the word that he's speaking to me. And many of you know there's a lot of noise in our life, a lot of people shouting at us. But when God speaks, it's different. It's different than the noise in your life. Peter listened. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will go out. And boy, I'm glad he did. And I'm sure he was glad he did. He says, go out in the deep water and cast down your net again. And that time, they caught so many fish because Jesus turned the natural into something supernatural. Just like he wants to do in your life. You might be sitting here today and you're living in a realm that is just in the natural. You haven't seen all that God wants to do yet. I want to tell you, the Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God's got stuff that you can't even imagine. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The disciples left their nets and they followed Jesus. And the rest is history. The world was changed. They didn't just make disciples, they changed the world. History was split into B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after Christ. And now we have from 120, well, first there was 12, and then there was 120, and then there was 3,000, and then 5,000. Now we have over 3 billion Christians in the world. Come on, somebody, say amen. Just a bunch of fishermen and a carpenter who happened to be the Son of God. Going out without radio, without television, without internet, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Tweeter, hallelujah. No Instagram. And when they came into a town, in one town, the people said, oh, here comes those disciples of Christ. These are the people that have turned the world upside down. It was the message, it was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the truth of God in this place. And churches everywhere, all around the world today, are celebrating a special day. It's Pentecost Sunday. 50 days. The word Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Christ's crucifixion. And 10 days after his ascension and the 40 days that he spent walking around after his resurrection, proving himself to be alive. And then he spoke to his disciples. He says, wait in Jerusalem. Until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be clothed with power from on high. I got a job for you to do, but don't go try to do it in your own strength. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like a blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, this got people's attention. How many of you know God can get your attention? And I still believe that signs and wonders and miracles are for today. There's a group of Christians going around and saying, there's no more miracles, there's no more gifts of the Spirit, there's no more signs. What a sad Christianity that is. I don't want a Christianity that is devoid of power. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, he gives us the whole package. He not only can save us, but he can empower you. He can give you the gifts and the strength and the power. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body as well. Hallelujah. The crowd was making fun of them. Some of them were saying, these guys are drunk. They're all praising God and they're speaking in tongues and languages that they never learned. And Peter stood up. He says, guys, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody, very few people get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, we're not drunk. We're full of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting that later on, Paul the Apostle makes the comparison between being filled with the Spirit. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because something happens when you're drunk is you lose control and you start acting differently. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you give control to God and you start acting differently. All of a sudden, you're not using those cuss words anymore. All of a sudden, you're kind. You don't kick the dog anymore. There was a revival in Wales one time. And the coal miners in Wales, they were rough. They were rough around the edges. And when the revival hit Wales, this was in the 1800s, so many men got saved and changed. Their lives were changed. The bars closed down. And they said that the mules, they would do mining with mules. They were coal miners. That the mules didn't know how to go forward anymore because they would use so much language. They'd be cursing at the mules to tell them go forward. And now the mules didn't know what to do because the guys weren't cursing anymore. And the poor mules are like standing around. I'd never heard him talk like that before. Why is he being nice to me? I don't understand. What's going on? God can change your behavior. When the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life, people will begin to notice and they'll be astonished. They looked at Peter, James, and John and said, these are the guys that were hiding from us. These are the guys that ran away. And now they're boldly telling us that Jesus rose from the dead. And don't they know we're going to arrest them? We're going to beat them just like we did to Jesus? They didn't care. Peter stood up and says, you tell me what's better. Should we obey God or should we obey man? We're not going to obey you. We're going to obey God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Somebody say amen. So Peter says, these men are not drunk, but this is a fulfillment of that prophecy that was spoken by Joel the prophet. And it's found, if you want to look it up later on, in Joel 2:28, verses 17 and 18 of Acts chapter 2. Now Peter is quoting the prophet Joel. He says these words, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So what Peter was saying is this was that. In other words, this is the fulfillment of that which was promised by Joel the prophet. Do you see the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament? In the Old Testament, you had prophecies about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, you had the actual inauguration of the church and the beginning of the church age. The book of Acts has often been called not just the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Because it was, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see throughout the entire book, there was a passion, there was an influence that was consistent in every chapter of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit had come for real, and the church was no longer the same. Men and women were praising God. People were getting free from demonic activity. They were getting free from pagan ceremonies and witchcraft and prostitution and addictions, and sick were being healed, and people who were broken were being restored. Something was happening there. Hallelujah. I challenge you to read the book of Acts, only 28 chapters. I love this about the book of Acts, too. The last phrase, the last sentence in the book, and by the way, there's no ending to the book of Acts. It doesn't end like a normal book in the Bible, like with all the benedictions and, you know, may God's grace be with you, this and that. The last word in the book of Acts, look it up, is unhindered. Unhindered. The apostles continue to give witness of the resurrection of Christ and the kingdom of God unhindered. Unhindered. Today you can be unhindered. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be unhindered. Because the Holy Spirit can come on your life and make you into a man of God. Make you into a woman of God. Hallelujah. The same power, the same passion, the same wisdom, the same dynamic that they had in the early church is still available and at work in the church today. Hallelujah. The book of Acts is not just a history book. It's a pattern for how we should live. It's an example of what happens when the church truly surrenders or yields itself to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist testified, I baptize you with water for repentance. This is before Jesus came. John the Baptist was the forerunner, right, of Christ? I baptize you with water for repentance. This is in Matthew 3:11. But after me, referring to Christ, one comes who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. So John spoke of the one who would come. Jesus Christ is the baptizer. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's nothing weird or strange that's going on. This was that. This is that which Joel promised. This is that which John the Baptist spoke about. And here, if you want further confirmation, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus himself quotes John the Baptist. Now, you got to be pretty good if Jesus quotes you. Come on, somebody, say amen. You know, I may quote you, you know, and say, you know, Gloria said this and that. That's really smart, Gloria. But if Jesus said, as my servant Gloria has said, thus saith I, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So Jesus, on one occasion, this is after his resurrection, just before his ascension, while he was eating with his disciples, remember, 40 days after his resurrection, he's walking around the earth. He gave them this instruction, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. What gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There it is again. Jesus confirming what John the Baptist said would happen. And so then, going back to what we read before, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, then the Holy Spirit descends on the church like a fire, like a wind. There are many forms that the Scripture talks about in the work of the Holy Spirit. It's been described as an anointing oil. The Holy Spirit is spoken of in the Bible like an oil of consecration, because when the Holy Spirit is on your life, you know your life belongs to God. You're not going to live for the devil anymore. Come on now. You're not going to live the way you used to live. Oil. The oil on the priest is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was symbolized by a cloud. The cloud in the wilderness that led the people. They followed the glory cloud in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit has been symbolized as a wind that blows, hallelujah, and stirs things up and separates the wheat from the chaff. The Holy Spirit has been designated as a fire. Fire that burns up all the junk and purifies. Say, fire purifies. And also, Holy Spirit has been designated as water. Water that flows like a river. We're going to talk about that at the end. But Jesus said these words to his disciples about the Holy Spirit in John 16. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. John 16, 12. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit here. Are you with me, church? What's Jesus talking about? The work of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, verse 13, he will guide you into. Notice he talks about the Spirit of God as a person. It's not a thing. Spirit of God is not a ghost. It is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen. Amen. So he will speak, not on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He's going to take from mine, he says, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and make it known to you. If you want to do a little word study, read that last sentence where it says, he will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine. The word there is to transmit or to birth the life of Christ in the believers. So the work of the Holy Spirit is not only to save us, but to continue to mature us in Christ. The more we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us the truth, to comfort us, all these things Jesus spoke of. He's going to teach you. He's going to convict you of your sin. He's going to satisfy you deeply. Remember the woman in Samaria met Jesus, the woman who had five husbands. Help us, Lord. Five husbands. Met Jesus. She finally met the sixth man. She met the perfect man. Come on now. Hallelujah. Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started. I could say a lot of things right now. I'm going to be quiet. Stay focused. He said, give me a drink of water. And this woman who was a Samaritan, she said, wait a minute, you're a Jewish person. I'm a Samaritan. The Jewish people hate the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hate the Jewish people. How many of you know there was racial prejudice back there in Bible days too? Aren't you glad looking around our church today that's not an issue here in this place? I keep telling everybody, we're going to begin calling this place International Church. Catalyst International Church. So Jesus says, give me a drink. He says, why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus said to her these words, if you knew who I was and the gift that I have to offer you, you would ask me for a drink. And I would give you water by which you will never be thirsty again. The water that I give you will satisfy you deep down inside. People are running around the world looking for so many things to satisfy. Maybe I'll find it on television. Maybe I'll find it in the best job. Maybe I'll find it in a nice car. And maybe I need better clothes. Maybe I need better friends. Maybe, friends, what you need is Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of Him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of Him. I can tell you after walking with Him 50 years, I know I don't look that old. Come on now. Thank you for your kind thoughts. Who is Brother Joe? I promised you. That's the second time I backslid, Brother Joe, this year. I promised him I wasn't going to say that anymore. But seriously, for 50 years, I've been following Jesus. And He's not only faithful, but He fulfills my life. He gives me. You think everything is easy for pastors? No. Brother Eric and I, where are you, Brother Eric? We talk about this. He says, if you're not called to that job, don't take it. Don't take that job. It's not an easy job. But I want to tell you, He's been there in our down and out times. He's been there when we got the bad report. He's also been there in the mountaintops. He's been a faithful Savior. I can't find any fault in Him whatsoever. No matter what, to my dying breath, He is a good God. He's a faithful God. And He deserves my allegiance. He deserves my allegiance. Give Him a hand of praise. Come on. How hungry are you today for God? How hungry are you for more of the Holy Spirit in your life? It's not a one-time occurrence. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that we can continually be refilled and refreshed. In Ephesians chapter 5, that verse I quoted to you where it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The original meaning in the Greek is a continuous present tense. It means be being filled. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time. How many of you know we leak and we need to be refilled? You ever know any people? None of you here, of course. But you ever meet any people that, like, they're constantly complaining? And their attitude is really, really nasty. Nasty. And it's like a bucket. You know, you try to encourage them. You try to say, hey, come on, man. It's going to be all right. You know, things are okay. You maybe help them out. You slip them some money. You tried to do this. You tried to do that. What you don't realize, they got a big hole in the bottom of that bucket. So you're pouring in and pouring in and pouring. Only God can close up that hole. Only God. Only God. Only God. He satisfies. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus satisfies. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will never go hungry. I am the living water. Whoever drinks this water will never be thirsty again. He can give you a reason to get up in the morning. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. Because the Holy Spirit takes, Jesus said, he will take from that which is mine, my essence, my character, my personality. Just like the Holy Spirit came on the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary had no seed from a man. Come on now. We're adults here, and you understand what I'm saying. The seed that was in Mary was the Holy Spirit's seed. It came from the Father in heaven. She knew no man, but the Holy Spirit was born in her. And she was not a perfect woman. She was a human being, just like all of us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit will come on you and put the seed of Jesus Christ in you. Are you following what I'm saying today? The Holy Spirit puts the seed of Christ in us and makes him a reality. The Holy Spirit empowers you to carry on the work. How could these same disciples who failed, who were totally, totally lost and afraid, hiding behind locked doors, after the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden these guys are willing to risk their lives, completely transformed. There's a conviction when you are sensing God's presence, everything else in life comes into focus. I mean, you may still have the same problems, you may still have the same heartaches, but somehow God is magnified. The problem with us is that the devil wants to magnify our weakness. He wants to magnify our fear. He wants to magnify everything that's wrong. But God wants to magnify his Son and glorify his Son, Jesus Christ, in us and through us. And if you give him the chance, he'll make you something beautiful. He'll make your life into something beautiful. He'll take the broken pieces of your life. The disciples had the greatest comeback in history. These same men who ran for their lives are now telling the Sanhedrin, the religiously, the same people that arrested Jesus. Peter's pointing his finger in their face and said, this Christ rose from the dead. If you want to know how this crippled man was healed, it's through the name of Jesus. And if you want to kill me, that's okay, because you'll just hasten the day that I'll see Jesus. That's all you're going to do. Because to be absent from this body, if you're a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. In a moment, in an instant, present. Even the thief on the cross, there was one thief who made fun of him. The other man finally came to his senses. He was dying. He was being punished for what he did. He deserved to be on the cross. And he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, he says, we deserve what we're getting, this punishment, but you did nothing wrong. He said, please, Lord, would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And Jesus turned to that man who had a little bit of faith, and he said, today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Next week. How many of you want to hear the rest of the message? Next week, I want to talk to you about the river of God. I want to talk to you about the river of God that flows everywhere you allow the Holy Spirit to work. Life springs up. There's a river in Ezekiel 47. You can read about it this week. We'll talk about it next week. Everywhere the life of God goes, things get better. If you're not allowing the life of God to operate within you, no wonder your life feels stale. Your life feels like it's on hold, or you feel like you're going in circles. I'm going to just tell you. I mean, I don't know how else to tell you. You have to just believe me. I'm saying this honestly with all my heart. God, every part of my life that he has touched, he's made better. And not because I am better than anybody. I'm just like anybody else. I had my doubts. I had my rebellious days when I was a teenager. I was just messed up. But I believed that God had something better. I believed the fact that his life in me is what I needed. I didn't need more money. I didn't need fame. I didn't need a better job. I didn't need people to like me. What I needed to know the will of God for my life. I need to know why God created me. I need to understand that I'm not just flesh and blood. There's a spiritual part of me that needs to connect with God. Friends, listen to what I'm saying. There's a spiritual part of you. Until Christ comes into your life, you're dormant. It's dead. It's dead. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are saved. You get saved. The Bible says by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body of Christ. We're saved by the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't end there. And as we're going to talk about next week, some people stay in the shallows where Ezekiel saw ankle deep. Some of us are ankle deep. We're saved, but we're on solid ground. We're on terra firma. Ain't no way I'm going into that deep water. How many of you have had near-death experience? Seriously. I have. When I was about 8 years old, I was in a high school pool in Queens. And any of you ever hear of John Adams High School in Queens? Anybody remember those? All right. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Pastor's telling the truth. I was hanging out there in the pool, you know, it was free to get in. And so I was sitting there. But the only problem was I didn't realize I was in the deep end. I mean, what do you know when you're 8 years old, really? And so some smart aleck comes along. I was in 9 feet water. And he just, with his foot, just pushes this little eight-year-old kid into the water just to be a smart aleck. So now I'm drowning. And I'm trying to get the attention of the lifeguard. And, you know, he's smiling. He's looking at, maybe he thought I was playing or something. But I was really going down, like second time, third time, whatever. Somehow or other, I managed to get to the edge of the pool. But that put a little bit of fear. And by the way, I lived, if you didn't. If you haven't noticed. But how many of you know that would put a little trauma in you? I was a little bit afraid of the water after that. But see, there are people, it's one thing to be afraid of the water. It's another thing to push God away. Be afraid of God. Or to be angry at God. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you ever carried a grudge against God? You know, blamed him for something. I went through one time in my life for 9 years, I'm ashamed to admit this, for 9 years I blamed God for something. And then finally one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, why are you withholding your affection from God? And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I fell on the floor. I literally fell to my knees. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. I haven't been giving you my real love. I've been going to church, being good. I didn't want to go to hell. So I was being good, you know, trying to be good, faithful to my wife, you know, all that stuff, even preaching. But in my heart, I had lost my first love. And the Lord says, why have you left your first love of me? You're not showing me the affection. You're not giving me your whole heart. Would you stand with me right now? Father God, we pray that nobody in this room will withhold their whole heart from you, Lord. I pray that we would be willing to go into the deeper water, Lord, and that we will be satisfied by the water and the bread that you can give, Lord, the water of life, your body, which is the bread of life, Lord, your precious blood that saved us and cleanses us and protects us from the evil one. We want all. How many of you can, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you want all that God has for you? Seriously, put your hand up. I want all that God has. I want all that God has. I'm not happy just living in the shallow water and just tiptoeing around with God. I want all that you have for me, Lord.